May the peace of the Lord be with you. Also with you, with your spirit. God's congregation, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the motto of these services brings before the eyes of our heart a locked room. That locked room contains many types of feelings, experiences, thoughts about life. Above all, the prime experience is dismay and also fear. Dismay that some had seen the resurrected Christ, some had not yet seen him. Some did not have the strength to believe. And for others, faith was just budding. It is noteworthy, however, that in that locked room, there was one matter. They were all able to partake. Everyone. Regardless of their experiences or their degree of faith, they all longed for Christ. They all wanted to be near the Lord. And this longing for Christ brought them all together in the deepest sense, although in their hearts and their souls they had different colors. They all were able to be together for Christ's sake. This picture also contains feelings of we are brought in the person of Thomas. Thomas was one of the people inside that room with the locked doors. And he did not have the strength to believe. Doubts eroded his mind. Too much had happened. The Lord truly seemed to be absent. But Thomas was accepted as one of the group. He is carried. The presence of the longing for Christ also carried that disciple who, in the weakness of his own faith, as if turned inward and stayed aside. And Thomas is carried in his longing. The picture of the locked room an unexpected dimension is added to this room. The Lord Christ was all of a sudden present, and his message was very simple and focused and took the situation into consideration. He proclaims to this group who was dismayed with conflicting thoughts, and he proclaims peace. He says, "Do not fear, do not fear." And he comes to Thomas, the disciple who was weak in his faith. Takes this brother and speaks to him with love. And in talking to him, it becomes apparent that Jesus came especially for Thomas. He who had already appeared to others, he came because he was worried that not even one should be left without his knowledge. And so his talk with Thomas causes his depression and his doubts to go away. That which was just impossible became, to the joy of identifying, and they were expressed in the words, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." The scales fell from his eyes when he was able to touch Jesus' wounds and his hands. His life was returned to him, hope was renewed, and the journey felt better again. The Lord was not far away. The Lord had not rejected him. Dear journey friends, was perhaps Thomas just like us? Do we identify ourselves in him today? I think that the motto of these services tells us this in a way. We want to identify ourselves with Thomas and with his life at this moment. For all of us, life may sometimes strip away. It can be many different colors, a life of many colors within the same walls. There may be colors of joy, but often there are dark colors which fall into the midst of our life. Like Thomas, we often experience and feel that the colors in our life may change from dark to light and vice versa. And nevertheless, our great comfort today is that Christ Jesus comes within our midst. He comes for each of us here today. He speaks to each of us as to a dear child. Today, you who are longing to identify him, he is traveling today from bench to bench, from the edge of this service site to the center. He searches for young people, for children, for adults and elders. He is looking for all of us who are longing to see Christ. Can you see that Christ, in his words and in the sacrament, is coming to you? He extends to you his hands and asks you to come close to him, so close that you can touch, that he can touch you and you can touch him. He extends his hands in the bread and the wine. There he opens his wounded hands. Come. Touch. Taste the goodness of the Lord. Eat from the fount of life. He is here. You can lift your gaze to the face of Christ. Can you see that love with which he speaks to you? He knows what you need. Your whole life, its joys and its suffering and its dismay. And he hopes a secure life for you. When you look at his face, you can feel in your heart that you have the right today to believe all your sins forgiven in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, can you see that love with which you are spoken to? Say bravely, like Thomas, before him, say from the locked rooms of your life, my Lord and my God. Let us confess before him who searches for all of us our own sins and our own guilt. O you gracious Lord, be gracious unto me and look upon me with your eyes, a wretched sinner, and look upon me with the eyes of your goodness as you looked at Peter when he had denied you, as you looked at the sinful woman in a Pharisee's home, and as you looked at the robber on the cross. Grant me your holy grace, so that I, like Peter, will weep over my sins, so that I, like the sinful woman, will love you from the heart, and that together with the robber, I will look at your holy face in heaven forever. Jesus says, my friend, be brave. Your sins will be forgiven. As his servant, I proclaim to you this forgiveness of sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, true God, you forgive us our sins every day and ask and hope that we would forgive one another. Break the hardness of our heart so that we would treat one another with understanding and would live according to the teaching of our Redeemer in the spirit of reconciliation and forgiveness. Hear us for thy Son Jesus Christ, our Lord's sake. Amen. We will sing hymn 358. Grace be unto you and peace from our God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I will read from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John in Jesus' name. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall not see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, and I will see you again, and your sorrow shall rejoice. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. The Gospel according to St. John has been spoken of many times at these services in Pudasjärvi. Many sermons have already been kept based on this Gospel, and in almost all the sermons there has been a reference to this Gospel. And for me, for some reason, the Gospel according to St. John is very close. Not that I know it by heart, but there is something in it that ignites in me. The portion which I read is also part of Jesus' farewell sermon. Many sermons have been kept here based on his farewell sermon. But the first thought that I get from this text is when Jesus says, Yet a little while. When we look at these matters and read about them and hear them 2,000 years later, we feel that what is this little time? Why didn't the disciples understand it? Is it a very long time from Thursday to Sunday? Isn't that a short time? This is what the Redeemer meant. His day of death was almost there, and he would be away from their sight. But already Sunday morning, on Easter morning, they would be able to see him again. But is it not natural that later, when we estimate some things that have happened long ago, we are much wiser and we wonder why they did not understand it at that time? But when life in general, something is happening right now, it is difficult to think clearly and to understand what it all means. I think that even now at these services, there are many such people who have struggled with your own health or your illness, or a dear one may have been taken away from you suddenly. There seems to be difficult matters up ahead. Measurement of time is impossible. Sometimes it seems that this time will never end or will never advance, that it will stop. And sometimes it is dismaying. How quickly the years and tens of years flash by. When we begin to count that I don't have many years of life left, that this is this what all there was? When the Word of God speaks of time, it is a very rich concept, and it is necessary to stop to ponder it. John begins this gospel in this manner. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John began long ago, unfathomably long time ago. And then he continues, the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. God's plan, God's Word, God's thoughts happened all at once Christmas night in a small baby, when a baby was born and became flesh. These same things were repeated at Easter. Death and resurrection, a new life, is so close to each other. Only a short time, just a moment. And surely, it seemed to Peter and John, and even more to Thomas, it seemed to be a long time from denial, from doubt. That short moment seemed like a long time, that 3 days. And it was difficult to believe that truly this was the dawn of a new life. But it is good to remember the words from the Book of the Proverbs. Everything has its own time. All matters have their own place under the heavens. Yet a little time. Look, behold, I will come soon. I think that as serious a matter as it contains, time will end. The most serious matter here in the message for us is this, that now is the moment. When we are here still, in this time, in this life, in this moment, and connected to this are the words of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. This is the right moment. This is the day of salvation. Right now. That is it. A serious message, but a joyous message. It is still the time of day. It is still the time when God speaks to us. It is still a time when Christ, through His Spirit, lives amongst us. The clear voice of the gospel sounds forth. It tells of the death of Christ and the sufferings. And it tells of all that which was connected to the life of man in this time. Death and all the trials and troubles and sufferings that we feel and carry here in our life, in our body, in our soul. But it tells us much more. This is the day of salvation today. With this vision and this truth of the Word of God, I wish to search for you who have thought that I would also like to repent one day. It is a great matter that this is the time, this is the moment when the message of salvation, the message of the love of God toward you and all of us, is present. But we know that from the Holy Bible and from the Word of God, that when God has takes his time and his moment away, then it is gone. The time of visitation may be short. And for this reason, almost in the first pages of the Bible, we are told, "Woe that man who is rejected by God, who rejects God, but woe, two times woe, that person who is rejected by God." God is not a toy. He is a holy God. And for this reason, today, if you hear the voice of the Lord your God, do not harden your heart. The Gospel, according to St. John, touches many times, and it feels good many times, that there is so much hidden in it, so much God, which becomes flesh. However, he keeps his holiness. And for this reason it is good. If I were amongst the disciples who say, "What is he talking of? I don't understand anything." A phenomenon of this time is that man tries to raise himself alongside of God, to understand everything, to explain everything, and to say how it should be done today. A time will come, says the Redeemer, also in the fifth chapter of St. John, a time will come, and already is now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Lord, and those who are dead can live. The time is coming, and it is now. You, dear brother and sister, are living with this time with me. A time will come when time will end for this world, and Christ will arrive a second time on earth. And then the children of God will rise up. The graves will be opened, and they will rise with new bodies to meet their Lord. But now already is the time when the dead can hear the voice of the Lord, when the kingdom of God is in your midst. And who believes this gospel, he can experience the rebirth, the great, amazing grace of rebirth. He can be transported from darkness into light and from death into life. Now we are living that time. Happy are those, blessed are those who accept the gospel even though their reason fights against it. I wish you, child of God, and you hear of the word, a blessed poorness, childlikeness, and that even in the matters of daily life, when there is a question of the life of a person, that there would be nothing, that we would not begin to try to solve things with our own reason, but that the light of God would. Our life contains many sorrows and sufferings and pain. And Jesus also says, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, but when her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. There is the miracle, the joy of new creation. A new person is born. The pain is no longer remembered. This is seen in the life of the kingdom of God even today. Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. When Jesus taught and prepared his disciples, he does not hide anything. And the same message sounds forth even today. The people of God, as followers of Christ, can experience many sorrows and pains and weep. And for that reason, because the follower of Christ travels in the light, he daily and every moment he feels and has to confess that I am worthless and unacceptable follower. But at the same time, God gives understanding and strength. We feel and we confess. The only strength is the gospel, even today. And this gospel will not be taken away from the house of God as long as God gives time. The kingdom of God will proclaim this gospel. It will remain the same and just as powerful always. And it will last as long. It will be a topic of joy. Tears will be wiped away. Troubles will be lightened. Burdens will be lightened. We have tears until the end. According to the book of Revelations, God himself will one day wipe away the last tears. But in the letters of the apostles, there is an exhortation in the New Testament to rejoice if we suffer because of Christ's name. It is one characteristic of the follower of Christ to suffer because of his name. But those wounds which he showed to Thomas also, those wounds are visible even today in the body of Christ. As long as this congregation of God here lives and works and battles, so long will the scars and the wounds be seen in that body, the troubles of this journey and the pains. But above all, the peace of God in the heart and the joy and the living hope of heaven. Mutual love and prayer. Help me get over this day, dear Father. One day, some can weep. According to Luke, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it is sometimes called, Jesus says, woe unto you who laugh now. You will weep one day. We would not want this portion for anyone. Now is the time for weeping. But the joy which is in which we do not take other people into consideration or the Word of God. And the texts of the Bible seem to be stories, this joy, and will one day be bitter weeping. Go away. I do not know you. And for this reason, the message of joy is offered from the kingdom of God. Death has been won over. The sins have been atoned for. And the forgiveness of sins is in the gospel for you also. And only the childlike faith can find it. And this faith is affected by God through His Spirit. This joy, which is heavenly joy already here on earth, the Redeemer says about this: ye shall be sorrowful, but I will see you again, and then your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. No one can take it away, and nothing can take it away. The vision in the book of Revelations is of that throng of white-robed people who stand before the throne of the Lamb and praise Him. And there they ask, who are these who are in the long white garments? And the questioner is answered, they are those who have come from the great trials. They have washed their clothes and purified them in the blood of Christ, and for that reason they are acceptable. This great trial, the blood of Christ, for that reason they have reached their destination. Child of God, I would cite the book of Isaiah from chapter 21. I know it is a picture, but I thought the voice cries from the wilderness, guardian, how long will the night last? And the guard answers, the morn has come, but it is still night. We are people of the new covenant. The morning has come. The King has arisen from the grave of death, but it is still night. Darkness is falling. The shadows are long. There is a hurry. But is there a hurry to believe? We should be able to do as much as possible before everything ends. Or is it enough that everything was prepared? Everything was ready. Today we are at this worship, this holy meal, this holy communion. Our thoughts perhaps pass over our life long ago, the sorrows of the coming life, and the cares in each person's own life and in their own family. Would it be enough today, now, that we accept that which is perfect? When you are told, do not fear, believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. That is everything that we can do. Accept it as a gift. God has promised to take care of us. gives us strength and instructions for the future if we have time ahead of us. It is sure that at the Pudasjärvi summer services there are many people, and myself among them. That we are not spending the services anymore. Others will be at services. This is what people's life is like. Isaiah was given the task of preaching, to preach how all flesh is like grass, like the flowers of the field. But the word of the Lord will last forever. The Apostle Peter, the disciple of Jesus, says this in his letter. It is still great that we have the Holy Word of God in our midst. We still have the kingdom of Christ in our midst. And the preachers of the gospel are still on the move. And they are giving gifts as a gift. Do I have today, or do you have today, a festive moment, a festive day, even though we do not understand everything? I am thinking, in this beautiful Finnish summer and during these beautiful service days, the children of God are able to gather here, but also on the radio and the internet. They are gathered around the Word of God. We have sorrow for all of those who are outside, who are searching for joy in their life. Jesus' disciples were also joyous that the gospel had brought victories. People had believed, had accepted. It is amazing and a good thing. But Jesus returned them to the most important thing. Rejoice first that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. Dear hearer of the word, I preach you your unbelief and all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Come and live in the kingdom of your Father, where everything you need and much more is available to you. Then in heaven I will rejoice the best when my old portion is taken away. Be praised, Lord Jesus. Be praised. Dear brothers and sisters, all sorrows, all sins, and all that which brings anguish to you, Christ has carried. He has atoned for it. And for this reason, raise up your heart to believe in his holy name and precious blood. All your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, you have next to you a priest of the Holy Spirit, a priest of Christ. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all your sins forgiven. Who is ready to tell you and to proclaim to you the most holy gospel, the message, joyous message, that tells of that great joy that no one can take away from you? For my own self, many times feeling sinful and doubting, I want to also ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe from the heart with you. We will rise to confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended unto hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.